Hello, welcome, wherever you are watching from. Today we're going to spend some time talking about faith, specifically faith in Jesus Christ, the gateway to all true blessing and freedom. And let's start by first acknowledging two realities of the pursuit of faith in Jesus Christ. Firstly, it is possible to think you have faith in Jesus when actually you do not. Jesus said many things about this. He quoted Isaiah saying, "You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus also said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" Jesus also challenged the Pharisees, calling them whitewashed tombs, essentially saying they were trying to make their faith look alive, but in reality it was dead. So all of these scriptures highlight the uncomfortable truth that people can think they have faith in God, when according to Jesus, they do not. The second reality about the pursuit of faith is that faith can be measured and faith can grow and expand. Think about that for a moment. It's kind of cool. Jesus said this to the crowds during his Sermon on the Mount. "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Okay, so Jesus also said to his disciples, this time they were caught in a boat in a storm, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Then again Jesus said to Peter, this time Peter had been walking on water and then started to sink. Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" However, when the centurion asked Jesus to heal his servant, Jesus declares that he had not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Let's read what Jesus said to him. "When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. 'Lord,' he said, 'my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly.' Jesus said to him, 'Shall I come and heal him?' The centurion replied, 'Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it.' When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, 'Truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith.'" Who wants great faith? Hands up. Who wants great faith? Notice how the centurion recognized Jesus' authority to heal his servant. Just go back to his words, "But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me." There's a connection between recognizing the total authority that Jesus has and having great faith in Jesus. When we actually realize and truly believe that Jesus is the one with all authority in heaven and on earth, it's impossible not to have great faith in Jesus. Jesus is the one with all authority over the spiritual realm and the natural realm. Therefore, come to Jesus. Ask Jesus. Trust Jesus. Jesus is the one with all authority over sickness, demons, death, salvation, people, relationships, storms, creation, food, shelter, the beginning and the end. Therefore, come to Jesus. Great faith rises when we recognize, acknowledge, and trust the total authority that Jesus has over all things. Pause with that for a moment. When we recognize, acknowledge, and trust the total authority that Jesus has over all things. So let's bring these thoughts together And let's keep them at the front of our minds as we spend time together today and reflect on faith in Jesus Christ. Wherever you are at in your faith journey with Jesus, let's together make the words from Luke 17 our prayer today. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. Let's pray before we go any further. Lord, that is our prayer. Increase our faith. Increase our faith in you. By your grace and mercy, I pray you lead us into more of your blessings, more of your presence, more understanding of your ways. And pray that you give us the courage and the strength to let go of our control, let go of our ways, and to fully trust you in all things and everything. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. The first and the most obvious spiritual need that many of us already trust Jesus for is salvation from our sin. But there are also other spiritual needs that we can and should have faith for. So we're just going to read from John 17. For you granted him authority, him being Jesus, over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. We receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He gives us eternal life, a relationship with God, which means that when we die, we will know and live with God forever. But it also means a life lived with him now, where we know God and enjoy an intimate relationship with him now. 24/7, we know and experience his presence, his guidance, and his rest. Pause with that. The creator of the universe, you come into relationship with. And his presence and guidance completely changes how we live, how we move, and how we do everything. Many of you will be familiar with Jesus' words in John 16. Let me read. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and guides us into truth every day, 24/7. It is a relationship of intimacy, a two-way communion where he knows you and you know him. He instructs, you obey. You struggle, he encourages. You're confused, he brings understanding. You ask, he answers. He speaks, you respond, he sends, you go. His voice guides us, protects us, and encourages us. It's like the pop-up sides for children who play 10-pin bowling, or maybe grown-ups when you need them. Each day, his voice stops us hitting a gutter ball and ensures we hit the pins at the end. By his Spirit, he keeps us on the narrow path. Do you know his voice? Is the voice of the Spirit part of your daily life? Can you hear God instruct and guide you? Are you in conversation with God? Or is this the increase in faith that you need? Do you need an awakening of his voice in your daily life? But wait, there's more. Christ also gives us his rest and peace now, which is one of the great miracles of faith in Jesus. To know peace and rest in the midst of this world and everything that this world can bring. Jesus said this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And just before he was about to be crucified, he also said these words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. The temptations in this world don't go away. The trials, the persecutions, the conflicts don't go away, and the devil is still at work around us. But all of these storms are kept on the outside of our bodies, and these storms are no longer on the inside of our soul. Pause with that, because we are now filled with His Holy Spirit. His peace, His rest, His life is inside us. Praise the Lord. Do you have His peace, His rest, His life on your inside? Was the toil, the burden, the anxiety, the death of this world still influencing you? Do you need to enter His rest and peace that He has made available? Is this the increase in faith that you need? But faith extends beyond the spiritual realm and firmly takes hold of the visible temporary realm we all live in. Faith includes trusting God for our material needs. In fact, faith in Christ completely changes how we interact with the material visible world around us. Faith does not remove us from the practicalities of this world. We still need to eat, drink, sleep. We still need shelter and protection. We still need to pay taxes. However, faith changes how these material needs are met and what our responsibilities are. Let's read again. There's a whole lot of things that Jesus said that we're reading today. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We do not seek to meet our daily needs. Instead, we seek the kingdom and His righteousness, trusting that our daily material needs will be met along the way. This is a life-changing truth, if you truly believe it to the point of living it out. Put simply, don't live your life trying to meet your needs. Instead, live your life in daily obedience to God's plans, even if you go to sleep not knowing what He has got planned for your tomorrow or how tomorrow's problems will be resolved. And along the way, you'll bump into grain fields when hungry. You'll find a coin in a fish mouth when you have taxes to pay. You'll be shipwrecked on an island with people who will show you unusual kindness, pulling out a few scriptural stories that still have relevance for us today. Opportunities will come at the right time because God arranged it. You'll meet the right people because God arranged it. You'll eat because God fed you. You'll have somewhere to rest your head because God provided. This truth is so radical because it calls us to live in today, to not worry about tomorrow, trying to predict and control our future. To truly live in the moment and let God, who is already in your tomorrow, work tomorrow out for you. This is a seismic truth that truly turns your life upside down if you believe it to the point of living it. However, many people struggle to trust God to meet their material needs, and it can sometimes remain the golden calf hidden in their heart. They trust God for their salvation, but they don't trust Him for their daily needs. As a result, they strive in their own strength with their daily work and their daily problems, feeling that God cares less about this than other more spiritual-looking matters. They toil for their daily bread, worry about what is around the next corner, plan and strategize in their human strength, and focus on building a storehouse of resources to sustain them for their future. Do you trust God to look after your everyday needs? Do you trust God to lead you in your daily problems at work, at home, in the community? Or is this the increase in faith that you need to ask God for? Do you need more faith for the everyday practical things? But faith is not limited to our spiritual needs, nor is it constrained to our material needs. Faith includes trusting God for our relational needs as well. So when Adam was in the Garden of Eden, he was lonely. God recognized this and gave him Eve. The same God is watching over our relationships today. And He knows that we need relationship with Him and relationship with other people. When Jesus was dying on the cross, he appointed one of the disciples to look after Mary. Let's read. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, the disciple took her into his home. Look at how the Lord is looking after Mary. When following Jesus Christ leads to division in your family relationships or with your friends, Jesus promises us that he'll give us a new family. You may have read this before. It may actually be relevant to where you're at the moment. "Truly I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age." Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, fields. Our family grows in Christ. We become brothers and sisters with all those who share the same spirit around the world. And the Lord will provide when your faith actually can sometimes cause challenge in relationships with people who do not know him. When Jesus calls us on a mission that separates us from our relational support, he will also provide the relationships that we need wherever he sends us and wherever you end up in the world. I don't know if you've ever reflected upon Paul and his mission journeys, and then he ended up on a shipwreck, and then what happened? Let's read. Once safely on shore, we found out the island was called Malta. The islanders showed us unusual kindness. They built a fire and welcomed us all because it was raining and cold. Your relational needs will always be met by him, and often there's multiple purposes. In this case, this was part of the mission and the connection with people as Paul was traveling around. He will bring the people that you need into your life at just the right time. If you need encouragement, he'll bring someone. If you need friendship, he'll bring someone. If you need a gentle, loving rebuke, he'll bring someone. If you just need to talk, he will bring someone. If you need prayer, he will bring someone. Are you trusting God for and in your relationship? Or is this the area of your life that you try to look after by yourself? Are you holding on to relationships in a way that may be stopping you from saying yes to what God has prepared for you or is calling you into? Is faith for your relational needs the increase in faith that you need? Do you need to trust God for your relationships? Do you need to start by praying about these needs? Today, maybe. But great faith is not just limited to our spiritual, material, relational needs. You're picking up on the theme here. The ever-increasing great faith is trusting Jesus for what? Everything. Remember, Jesus has authority over everything. Therefore, Jesus is our pathway. Jesus is our purpose. Jesus is our provider. Jesus is our protection. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is our power. Do you like the alliteration? Just helpful to remember, but actually very true. I sometimes find myself just praying into those things. Jesus has authority over sickness, injury, and death. Do you need to trust him with your health? Do you need to come to Jesus for a healing miracle? Jesus has authority over his church and his people. Do you need to trust him for your purpose in this world? Do you need to seek him for your contribution to the body of Christ? Jesus gives spiritual gifts and power to his people so that we are equipped for works of service in his kingdom. Do you need to trust him for his empowerment, for his spiritual gifts, and step into the works he's asking of you? Jesus has authority over evil spirits. Jesus can and will set people free from evil spirits that are tormenting them. Do you need to trust him to lead you as you pray for people? Or are you being tormented and need Jesus to help you to set you free? Jesus has authority over salvation and forgiveness. Do you need to repent and trust him to forgive your mistakes, even if they feel really big or bad? The blood of Christ is sufficient. Do you need to trust him with the people who have sinned against you? Do you need to truly and genuinely forgive them and let go of anger and bitterness? But wait, there's more. In fact, we could write a whole book about the things that we can trust Jesus with. Actually, we already have a book. It's called the Bible. Is what you read in the Bible your reality? Or are they just words or stories in a book that you've studied or even memorized? Is it time to step out of the boat and start walking on water with Jesus? Okay, let's return to where we started. It's possible to think you have faith in Jesus Christ when actually you do not. It is also possible to grow in your faith as we truly grasp and acknowledge the total authority of Jesus Christ. And as we saw with the centurion, recognizing the authority of Christ is the connection to great faith. How can you not have faith in the one who has authority over all these things? We are called into a life of faith, a life of faith that touches every aspect of who we are as human beings, the spiritual, the material, the relational, the everything. Great faith takes you to a place where every part of your life is in God's hands. There's nothing else to let go of because you've surrendered it all to Him. Are you letting Jesus be king over your morals, but you are still king over your daily bread? Do you let God direct your prayers, but you continue to direct your footsteps? Have you let Him plan your life after death, but you are the one planning your life here on earth? What is the increase in faith that God is calling you into? Will you let go of your control and embrace faith in the places that you've never trusted Him before? Do you need to make these words from the Gospel of Mark your prayer? I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. And just another thought to throw in there. By the Lord's grace, He leads us into more and more, one step at a time. If we look at the journey with the disciples, He introduced them to different aspects where He had authority. And each introduction resulted in them having to contend and results in a faith increase for them. It's a natural progression to grow in our faith as we walk with Jesus, and that is very exciting. Let's pray. Lord, we commit this time to You, and we acknowledge that we have all had different experiences in this world, yet You are watching over us, calling us, and leading us forth in Your ways and Your work. So we pray by Your grace and mercy that You shine a light upon each of our individual lives and show us what the next step is and where we need to trust You more. Grow our faith. Increase our faith. We do believe. Help us in the areas where we currently need a faith increase. Amen. Bless you so much. It's wonderful spending time with you. Get in touch with Jesus first. Come along to one of our gatherings if you live in the area.